Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made. Let's talk about the New Hampshire primary. New Hampshire primary was conducted yesterday. Start with the bottom line. Donald Trump beat Nikki Haley by about 11 points. That was inconclusive. The polls had showed him ahead 20, even more points, 25 points. She had said that she hoped to get within single digits. They kind of split it in half. 11 points is two off of single digits. It's more than 10 off of the polls. There's a couple of things that occurred to me, and then I'm going to tell you some parts of it that I felt that were just repulsive. But first of all, if you're a former president, okay, and you were beaten last time and you're running again, with that name recognition and that gravitas that the presidency gives you, the fact that anybody's running against him at all, putting aside for a moment that he's a criminal and a traitor and a thief, but if he were a normal former president, there'd be nobody running against him in the primary. And if they were, it's inconceivable that his former ambassador to the United Nations, which is technically a cabinet position, but we're not talking Secretary of State, not talking Secretary of Defense or Attorney General or Treasury Secretary, that an ambassador to the United Nations could get about 45%, 44% of the vote against you in New Hampshire is unbelievable. The guy's very vulnerable in a general election. The question is he vulnerable in the primaries coming up? And for the couple of reasons that are different from what you'll hear from other prognosticators, I think that he is. So first of all, if you took a look at him, he's a raging sociopath. You know, he was diagnosed as being a narcissist. Not a nice way to put it. He had Tim Scott standing behind him. Now, Tim Scott is a senator from South Carolina. The only reason he's a senator from South Carolina is because Nikki Haley appointed him. That's why. There was a vacancy and she appointed him. He just immediately stabbed her right after he dropped out of the presidential race. And he endorsed Trump. Not only did he endorse Trump, he showed up and he stood right behind Trump. Trump positioned him right behind Trump. But Trump has this sadistic streak going. If you're a sadomasochist, part of it is the sado part. He loves to humiliate people. He loves to drag them through the mud. And he turns to Scott right in his speech, his so-called victory speech. And does he say, listen, Senator, thank you so much for supporting me? And leave it at that? No, that's not what he says. He turns to Scott and he says, you must really hate Nikki Haley to be here because she appointed you. You must really hate Nikki Haley. Humiliated him. Scott has a boundless appetite for servility, self-abnegation. And he walked around, and I thought maybe he'd slug Trump. Or he'd say, listen, are you really a Russian agent? Or should we believe Stormy Daniels or you? Or E. Jean Carroll or you? Or the 23 other women you grabbed between the legs and boasted about on Access Hollywood? No, that's not what he said. He said, I just love you. I just love you. I mean, the servility to be whipped in person, to be insulted right in front of a national audience, and then say to Trump, I just love you. And, you know, Trump, if you take a look at that tape, stepped back when he came around because he was in his face, in his space. And then Trump started to chuckle and said, he's a good politician. He's a good politician. Trump went on, attacked Governor Sununu, very popular governor up there because he endorsed Haley. I'm going to quick go to the lines because we're going to talk a lot more about this. Nick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Nick, what's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking me. Yeah, my call dropped, but I'm glad I got you. And I want you to know that there are a lot of conservatives who are not Trumpservatives. Because I'm not one of them, you know? And I've gotten a really better relationship with my family when I don't talk about politics with them because...
So what are you? You're a conservative, Nick, right?
You know, I'm a conservative, yes, but I'm not a Trump.
Okay, but you are or not a Trump conservative?
Do
you like Trump?
Trump conservative.
Okay, good.
No.
Okay, got it.
Here's the thing, Matt. Principles, character, and moral courage mean something to me. They mean nothing to Trumpservatives. So that's where we are right now, you know, and it's
right.
Unfortunate. And it's a binary choice between Trump or Biden. But here's the thing. People on the right and the left have been stupid enough to make this the binary choice. I don't like that.
Let me ask you a quick question, Nick. Come November, let's say it's Biden against Trump. Just what's your present inclination without binding you to it at the time? If it were Biden against Trump now, who would you vote for?
I would vote for my high school choir teacher.
Fair enough, Nick. Listen, thanks for the call. Call in more often. You're a principled conservative. I like that, and I learn a lot from all my callers. I really do appreciate that. That leads, frankly, Nick's call leads to another thing I wanted to talk about the New Hampshire primary. I saw a number of interviews with voters there, and several of them were very much like Nick. They were conservatives. They were Republicans. They said they were Republicans. They said there are no circumstances under which they could vote for Donald Trump. And they said it flat out, a couple of husbands and wives. And I always wondered what they would do. Are you going to vote for Joe Biden? And maybe they don't. But if they don't vote for Joe Biden, you know, there are some other third-party candidates who I don't think are any good, quite frankly. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I'm a huge Kennedy guy. I was Teddy Kennedy's Milwaukee County chairman in 1980 for his campaign. And I thought the world of Bobby Sr. and President Kennedy. But this is very interesting. What's going to happen when there are people like Nick who are principled conservatives won't vote for Trump? Take you in order. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, I certainly hope if they're principled, they have to realize that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to American democracy and vote for Joe Biden rather than anybody else, because any vote that's not for Joe Biden is just, you know, is offset by people voting for Donald Trump. I mean, I just finally cracked it open. I just had gotten Malcolm Nance's book on They Want to Kill Americans, and I'm just 12 pages into it, and it's just terrifying how he saw what was going on today and the increasing violence that we see and the call for blood on the behalf of some, because I see on one of our campuses now there was some small, albeit small group, projecting a Nazi symbol on the side of one of the building and calling for blood. I mean, last night on PBS, they had a program about the Nazi movement in America prior to World War II. I mean, new American bunch has got to be opposed, you know, regardless of what if you're conservative or liberal, that you have to support the guy that actually stands for democracy. And Donald Trump at this point in time does not stand for American democracy or democracy in any form whatsoever.
Right. Excellent. Excellent call, Mark, as always. Thank you. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Andrew?
Hey, Professor, I agree with you 100%. We need people like Nick calling. The only way our government works for us is a balanced system. We need honest conservatives. This MAGA group, they need to be gone. And maybe the far left of our party, although I consider myself one of them, maybe we need to calm down a little bit. But we need people like Nick, and I'm so glad he's listening, and I hope he can encourage other people that think like him. And I hope he shows up to class more often and raises his hand. thanks, Professor.
Thank you, Andrew. You're terrific. Thank you. PT of Portland, my friend. Thanks for calling, PT. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, you know, it was good to hear a conservative call in, and I hope he continues to call in. But, you know, my only problem is, you know, he said he'd vote for what, his high school sweetheart or something, instead of writer in or something, on the ballot instead of voting for Trump. But doing so, to me, is a passive approval of Trump. Because by not voting for Biden, it's possible that, and just doing nothing, it's very possible that Trump could get elected. Now, if his morals were that high, wouldn't he vote for Trump or vote for Biden to send a clear message to the extreme MAGAs that we've had enough of you? And I think a lot of voters have done that so far in past elections when Biden ran against Trump. But right now, he's kind of, you know, he's in that, he's not courageous enough to say, I'm going to vote for Biden to send a clear message. But
well, I love your call, but I would disagree to this extent. I think he's plenty courageous. I think Nick is the principal guy, and he stood up, and he's a conservative, and I respect that. But Nick will not vote for Trump. And I think that in itself is an act of courage. And what he does beyond that is obviously up to Nick. And yeah, it'd be nice if he voted for Biden, in my opinion, but that's just me. And I appreciate what Nick did. So I agree with you, everything you said, except that I think Nick showed a lot of courage. Thanks very much, PT, from Portland. We're stepping away. Coming up, more on the New Hampshire primary, and the border deal is being jeopardized. Coming up.
Tongue liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Want to talk a little more about the New Hampshire primary. We talked about Tim Scott. Oh, that was a sadistic thing, frankly, Trump to do. It was a sadistic thing. Joe Biden beat Dean Phillips and Marianne Williamson with a write-in campaign. The DNC, the Democratic National Committee, had said they wanted South Carolina to be the first primary. And New Hampshire has a state law setting a primary when they did yesterday. So Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is the Democratic Party, he agreed with the business of South Carolina. And so he didn't even file or register, but a lot of friends of his had a write-in campaign, and he swamped Dean Phillips, Marianne Williamson. I'm sure she's a nice person, but I think she's like a health guru or a lifestyle guru or something like that. Dean Phillips is a congressman from Minnesota who's not running for re-election, doesn't disagree with Trump, Biden on any issue, but all he does is attack him and insult him on Republican themes. I don't know what he's doing. Dean Phillips had a fundraiser in New Hampshire and nobody showed up. Zero people showed up. Zero people showed up. Zero. 90% of Haley voters don't want a third Trump nomination. 84% of Haley voters say he would be unfit if he's convicted for anything. This does not bode well for him going forward. Stephen of Green Bay, my friend, thanks for calling Western Mind today, Stephen.
Hey, Matt, before I say what I'm going to say, I would just like to say that if you're ever in Green Bay, I'd like to sit down and have lunch with you sometime, because I definitely would love to learn more from you. And I think you may be able to learn a little bit from me, too, being a younger gentleman myself. So,
well, I appreciate that, Stephen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
With that being said, I think it's sad, as much as we talk about it and we kind of scoff at Tim Scott. He's really letting himself be a slave in his own party. When you let someone publicly humiliate you and the person that puts you in the spot to begin with, and then you turn around and you genuflect to the person that's doing it like they're a god standing in front of you, it's just absolutely disgusting to see. And if this is what politics is going to turn into, I'm really afraid for our country, because that is not what the founding fathers had in mind when they wrote the Constitution at all.
That's an excellent point. And it reminded me of Putin. There are people in Putin's presence who tremble because, you know, they're afraid they'll be killed by him. And the same with Kim Jong-un. In Thailand, it's a felony to criticize the king. Guy just criticized the king and he got 50 years, 50. I'm not kidding, in a Thai prison. That is not America. That is not America. And it was disgusting is exactly the right word. It was a disgusting display of servility. And, I kind of like Tim Scott personally. I don't want him as president, but to have him humiliated like that, and inferentially Nikki Haley humiliated, and this guy goes, you must really hate Nikki Haley it made my skin crawl. Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. That's why in America, we don't have a king. Okay. It's as simple as that. We do not have a king. To date, Trump has 32 delegates, including everything, Iowa, New Hampshire. Haley has 17. DeSantis has 9. She's going on to South Carolina. I'm going to say a few things about that before I do them. Go to the lines. Chad of Greenfield, what's in your mind today, Chad?
Hey, Matt, before I get to my original play, I heard you talk about Nikki Haley. And Trump blew her out of the water. We know that the Democrats were registering and voting, trying to underhand President Trump, and it obviously didn't work either way. She's going to lose by at least 30 points in her home state, and then it'll be over. But the reason why I called is I'm very concerned about Joe Biden, election denier Joe Biden, calling Terry McAuliffe the real governor. He's an election denier. He's an insurrectionist. He does not believe in democracy. He does not believe in fair elections. I'm very disturbed by this.
Are you talking about Trump, Chad? When you say the instigator of the insurrection, who do you think it was that gave a speech that said, go up to the Capitol, you got to take back your country? Who's the one that sat in the White House chuckling, and when people called up like Kevin McCarthy and said, you got to call him off, Trump said, well, Kevin, they must think a lot more about their country than you do. And they were chanting, hang Mike Pence. There was a gallows that wasn't created that morning. That was not put up there without somebody in the Trump administration knowing about it. The truth is that Trump is a sociopath. He is the election denier. And I think that when Biden says something about McAuliffe is a good friend of Biden's. He should be the governor, but he's not. Youngkin beat him. I agree with that. We're not election deniers. That was a fair election. Terry McAuliffe made a big mistake towards the end of that race. Terry McAuliffe was talking about what teachers do in school, and he said something really stupid like, well, it's not the parents' business what's taught. I don't think he meant it. If he did, I disagree with him 100%. It's absolutely the parents who decide how their kids are going to be taught. And he lost the election for that reason. Joe Biden knows that. I know that. But the point of the matter is, Joe Biden doesn't think that Youngkin is a good governor. I don't think that Youngkin is a good governor. I don't think that Youngkin is a good governor. It'd be nice if Terry McAuliffe were the governor. He was a great governor, but he isn't right now. And everybody understands that. I want to get on to South Carolina. And by the way, Chad, if you think that a former president with all that gravitas gets 50, 3 or 4% of the vote, and his former ambassador to the United Nations gets 11 points less than that. If you think that's some sort of a sweep, my friend, think again. Any other president that we're running, I mean, with Joe Biden, this Dean Phillips runs, he's a congressman. You know, Marianne Williamson is nuts, but Dean Phillips, he doesn't get Schneider. You know, Nikki Haley wouldn't have run at all if the guy had been normal, if he hadn't been a criminal and a thief. So there you have it. But in South Carolina, Nikki Haley's not going to take any advice from me, and I don't want Nikki Haley as president. But she has got to do better than getting up and say, well, I agree with Trump on the issues, but this chaos follows him and he's too old. Well, that ain't going to cut it, Nikki. You've got to hit him on the issues. You've got to say he's in Putin's hip pocket, that he's a Russian agent. You've got to say when he stole documents, they got turned over to the Chinese and the Russians and they executed our undercover agents. You got to start saying that. You got to start saying that he took money from Chinese banks who busted our sanctions against North Korea. And now he's saying he might not defend Taiwan. You've got to say that. You've got to come right out and say that. You've got to come right out and say that in Ukraine, he'd pull us out of NATO and say, Ukraine, the hell with you. And they'd be raped and they would be pillaged by the Ruskies. You've got to say these things. If you say, well, I agree with his policies, I don't think you agree with all that. But if you do agree with all that, you shouldn't even be running at all. You shouldn't be running at all. Nobody wants Trump 2.0. Chaos, give me a break. Give me a break. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and I'm going to talk about the border deal. But she don't care. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The border deal is what's holding up aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, securing our border. There is a hangup. First of all, there is now a recommended bill, bipartisan from Republicans and from Democrats, bipartisan bill. And it's being objected to. It's being objected to, believe it or not, and you'll find one of these names very familiar. Mike Lee, Ron Johnson, and Ted Cruz. Now remember, any one of them, under unanimous consent, can block it. Fact is that if there's other bipartisan support, people would step up and give the 9 votes to bust the filibuster. So what's going to happen? Before I get into that, let's go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today?
A great show, as always, Matt. Say, the other day I tried calling you, but I got a rental car, and I was having trouble with the Bluetooth, so I couldn't connect. that's what happens when you get older, Matt. with Nikki Haley wondering why she's going to beat Trump, I would like her to say that to me personally. You mean you can't beat a man with 91 felonies, some convictions handed down, 26 sexual assaults, some convictions handed down, 11 bankruptcies, 2 impeachments. You can't beat this man? Are you serious? You know, really, I mean, Matt, come on, what are they saying? Are these people listening to what comes out of their mouth? You can't beat the biggest felon we ever had running for president. Well, what is wrong with you? I mean, come on. First of all, he shouldn't be allowed to run. It's a slap in the face to every American. My dad fought in World War II. He fought on the island of Attu in Alaska, and he fought in the European theater. He was an officer. If he knew what was going on now, they would have demanded Trump be incarcerated. Your thoughts, Matt?
Yeah. No, that's very well put. And it's true. And on Nikki Haley, I mean, let me just tell you this. Nikki Haley is showing a lot of guts for staying in. And it means to me that some of her big donors are with her, because you can say all you want about, I'm going to keep going. If you don't have any money, you can't keep going, because if you're not on TV, you don't exist. You know, like when Vivek Ramaswamy ran out of money and nobody gave him any more, he didn't exist anymore. He got low single digits and had to get out. Well, with Nikki Haley, remember something? I think that the Koch brother, the remaining Koch brothers with her, you know, that guy's worth tens of billions of dollars. You know, $10 million for a radio or a TV buy is Trump change. It's folding money. So obviously, some of her donors, her biggest ones, are staying with her. And the other reason why I think it's smart, you can look ahead all you want. South Carolina, much more conservative than New Hampshire, blah, blah, blah. The goose is cooked in some, like California has over 160 Republican delegates. You only need about 1,250. And it's winner take all. Trump right now is ahead in the polls in California by 60 some odd percent. And it's him against Haley. And then he would get all these delegates. So what's her path? Blah, blah, blah. What I look at is this. You really only get to run for president once. Joe Biden is a miracle. He's ran a number of times, and he is the president. But basically, you give it your shot, you can't count on anything in the future. She's running against a guy, as Bill said, that has 91 felonies alleged against him in four separate indictments in four courts. Been impeached twice. One time, something like 8 Republican senators voted to convict him. So 58% of the Senate said he was a crook and no good and wanted to convict him. But it takes 2/3, 67, and for that reason, he snuck himself in. He snuck himself back in. There's not only that, the jury did say that he sexually abused E. Jean Carroll, and the judge clarified and said that's, at common law, that's called rape. He raped her. He penetrated her. He threw her up against the wall in Burghoff Dudman when nobody was around, lifted her skirt, put his hand down her pants, and penetrated her with his fingers. And the jury felt that, well, I assume the jury felt, well, rape is only if he penetrate with your penis. Well, that's not true. And so is his fingers. But in any event, why do I have to talk like this about a guy running for president? Are you kidding me? But this is what's going on. And so many other things, fraudulent, taking money from Russia, taking money from Chinese banks, has his hand out. Right. She should win. Right now, she didn't win that one. She might not win in South Carolina. But remember something. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. And 1 month in politics is 100 years in geologic time. 10 months in politics to the next election is a millennium in geological time. So what can happen if a single criminal case goes to trial and he's convicted on a single felony count and he's sentenced to prison? That will upend this whole thing. Everything he's doing is designed to avoid the trials, to appeal, to delay, to lie and say his lawyers have COVID, all of this stuff. Everything is designed to delay, delay, delay. And this points to something, I'll say it again, Merrick Garland shouldn't have gotten off the dime a year or two earlier. He had plenty of evidence. Put Jack Smith on the case a year earlier, and this trial would have happened months ago. But it is what it is, and we are, I think, in a good place. That's number one. Number two, as you go along, and there are clear facts coming out in these cases, even the ones that don't go to trial, and Trump is exposed for what he is. You heard Nick of Madison call earlier in the show, a principled conservative who can't vote for Trump. In Nick's case, he would vote a write-in or a third party of some sort. But there are going to be a lot of people who are very, very worried about Trump in the Republican Party. And one piece of good news, he's now ahead of Trump in Pennsylvania in the polls. He's now ahead of Trump. Biden is in Pennsylvania. And I saw an interview with Governor Waltz of Minnesota, a very fine guy. I think a lot of him. And he said the polls he's seen show that Biden is ahead of Trump in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota right now. If the blue wall holds, it's going to come down to the blue wall. It's going to come down to Pennsylvania, Michigan. It's going to come down to Wisconsin. We hope Minnesota. Walt said he thought that would be true. Illinois. Trump cannot win if that happens. Biden's going to win because Biden has New York, California, and blah, blah, blah. And Trump is Alabama, Mississippi. He is Texas and all this. But basically, Trump right now, if I'm Nikki Haley, this is your shot. You know, you're in the World Series. You get up to bat, everybody says the bookmakers are all against you. Okay, they can be all against me all I want. But if I get to swing the bat and something happens, the star pitcher gets thrown out, anything can happen. Once you're on the field, anything can happen. So I think that I do think that she should stay the course. Not that I want her. In fact, Joe Biden wants to run against Trump because all the matchups show he beats Trump. I've seen polls that go, oh, well, maybe Nikki Haley can beat him. She's not going to beat him. She's not going to beat Joe Biden. What, a former ambassador to the United Nations? Do I want her in there if the Russians decide to go into Latvia? No, I really don't. I want Joe Biden in there. If the Chinese decide to do something in Taiwan, I want Joe Biden in there. I want experience. I want somebody with deep experience and wisdom. There's no such thing as a wise teenager. There really isn't. I had no wisdom at all when I was a teenager, and neither did anybody else I know. So you want somebody who has some wisdom and experience and is honest, and that's what Joe Biden is. Now, I want to get to this border deal. Ukraine right now is performing magnificently. They're using drones. They're hitting the Ruskies in St. Petersburg. They're hitting them all over the country. They're pushing them back. Patriarch Kirill, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church. Remember, there are two Orthodox churches, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church. The Greek Orthodox Church was it. It was Constantinople when the Roman Empire split between Rome and Constantinople. It was an early split of Christianity. It was all trivial liturgical things. But then the Turks conquered Constantinople in the 1450s, and they turned the Grand Cathedral into a mosque, and it's still a mosque. And they changed the name of Constantinople to Istanbul. You've heard of Istanbul. Maybe you've been to Istanbul. At that point, the Orthodox needed a basis, and they went to Moscow. And this is pre-communist, pre-anything else. And okay, so there's Russian Orthodox. Now there's a split in the Orthodox Church. So Kirill, Patriarch Kirill, which is sort of the Pope of the Russian Orthodox, is a guy who supported Putin's war against Ukraine. And there was resistance because the eastern part of Ukraine, there were a lot of Orthodox. The western part is largely Roman Catholic and Protestant. But the eastern part is largely Orthodox, and that's split between Greek and Russian Orthodox. And the Russian Orthodox Ukrainians who were fighting the Russians didn't appreciate their patriarch coming out and saying the Russians are doing the right thing. You know, when they're raping women in Bucha and torturing people and all that. Bottom line, what's happening in Russia right now, Patriarch Kirill came out and he opposed Putin's new conscription for the Ukraine war. So they're setting them back. We got to keep supporting these people. And the Republicans have linked the border deal to Ukrainian aid. Well, Biden has given damn near everything. Schumer just announced after Cruz, Lee, and Ron Johnson tried to stick a torpedo in it. He said, well, we don't have a deal yet. And what is the issue? And I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you what I think. The issue right now is parole. You know all about parole in the criminal case, but there's a thing called parole in the immigration realm, where if you have a distressed bunch of people, let's say the Ukrainians who are here, number of them, Biden gave them humanitarian parole for a year or two to sort of get situated, hope things resolve in Ukraine, and blah, blah, blah. He did it for Haitians, and he did it for a few others. The Republicans want to eliminate humanitarian parole. That is the sticking point. They are afraid that Biden will just go, okay, I'm going to parole a million somebody else, and they have no control. I have a solution. The best thing that could happen to the Democratic Party in this race is if we have a solution at the border. And Trump knows that, and that's why he has instructed Cruz and Lee and Johnson to stick a knife in it. They don't want a resolution at the border. They want the networks every night to show migrants roaming around New York and Chicago. That's what they want. So what's wrong with this? You sit down with the Republicans and you go, okay, I get the idea of parole, and it shouldn't be just carte blanche, but set up a system, and this would be some kind of a resolution to it, where, you know, set up a committee, a bipartisan committee with equal numbers. And if I want to parole X number of people from this country, I'll submit it to that committee first. And you advise me on it. And they'll come back and say, no, we need more teeth than that. Okay, you need more teeth than that. Okay, then a majority of that committee would have to oppose me. And that's where we'd be. Just a suggestion. I'm going to quick go to the line. David of Mequon, we have about a minute and a half before we have to step away. What's in your mind today, David?
Just to follow up with what you were just talking about on the border, there's a couple things. One, it's been very hush-hush, and it's kind of interesting. You know, Mexico asked the United States for $24 billion to, you know, do with this illegal migrant crisis. And Anthony Blinken and company went down to Mexico a few weeks ago, and nothing's been said about it, but all of a sudden, if you notice, the amount of people that are crossing the borders decreased in half. The Mexican government now all of a sudden is rounding up all these people from going into the United States, which is very interesting to me because, to your point, I think it looks politically good if they can control the border, but I think that's temporary. And the reason why I look at that is because I just read in Reuters, it was from 2 days ago, the United Nations is going to spend $7.9 billion to grease the wheels.
Okay, Calvin, keep David on the line. David, I have to step away, but don't hang up. Calvin will put you back on the line. Coming up, finish talking to David. Texas right now is circumventing the Supreme Court decision. Coming up. Blood is the rose of mysterious union. Dead blood in the streets is up to my ankles. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right back to the lines to David of Mequon. Go ahead, David.
All right. Thank you, Matt. You know, illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. There's a lot of problems with the fact when you have illegal immigration, the cartels are getting wealthier, drug trafficking, sex trafficking. It's a mess. And the point is that it needs to be corrected because that will destroy our country as far as, you know, what we have. If we don't have an actual border, we don't have a country anymore. And you're going to just talk about Texas and the Biden administration and the Supreme Court just ruled 5-4 that it's illegal for Texas to put the razor wire, which doesn't make sense because the federal government at the very bare minimum should be enforcing our borders. There's a reason why you have the crossing into Canada, crossing into Mexico. You got the, you know, police there and other guards and stuff. That should be at the bare minimum. At least we got to enforce. You can't just have anybody just come over willy-nilly. And yes, I am sorry. You know, that's the way I feel about it. But it has to be. We can't absorb this many people on a regular basis without it being a total destruction of the cities and states, overrunning the hospitals and the schools. You already see what's going on in New York. They kicked 2,000 students out of school, and now they got a social distance learning. They asked ALC, and she said, well, that's not my district. She kind of just blew it off. It's a problem. Chicago, the same thing. Ask them in Denver or wherever.
All right. Thanks for calling, David. Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, if we are subsidizing Mexico to keep people from crossing into the United States, that is a lot of precedent. And the EU subsidizes Turkey. They give them money to prevent Middle Eastern immigrants from swarming into Greece and then into the EU, because that's caused a hell of a lot of problems and frankly, a lot of violence in Europe. And violence against the Jewish community and violence, frankly, against everybody. So I understand that as a tactic, number one. Number two, on the Texas thing, let me slightly correct what you just said. Texas is still laying down wire. Abbott is still having his people do it, despite the Supreme Court thing. And his reasoning is that if you read the Supreme Court opinion, it did not say that Texas had to do or not do anything. What it said was the government can take it down. So they keep laying it, and then the government sends in agents to take it down. But it says there's a delay, and sometimes they obstruct the agents. Texas, quite frankly, has a real problem. Let me tell you what it is. They have a thing called the Texas Nationalist Movement that wants to secede from the United States, and they are now attacking Governor Abbott. I'm not kidding, from the right, because he and his state chairman, his state Republican chairman, won't put a secession question on the ballot. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure as bad as they are, they remember 1861. That turned out quite badly. Texas seceded, didn't like the fact that Abe Lincoln had been elected, and been there, done that. We ain't doing that again. But what Abbott is doing is effectively defying the federal government. Now, when that happened in Alabama in the 1950s, and they segregated schools even after Brown versus Board of Education, and they wouldn't let black kids into the university. Dwight Eisenhower sent troops down there, federal troops. And then when the Alabama National Guard was standing there, Eisenhower federalized them. The president, you know, why do you think we have a National Guard? If they need, they're needed to fight, they can be shipped overseas. They are just federalized. Joe Biden could federalize the Texas National Guard. He could tell them to stand down. He could send federal troops, the way Eisenhower did in Alabama, down and guard the border. The problem with that in the present environment is that you send federal troops down to the border. That's something that nobody wants, basically. And you're not counting on a recalcitrant governor who, frankly, opposes the United States and has a branch of his party that wants to secede. So that's what the state is down there. Status is, David, they're still laying the wire despite the opinion, taking the position that it didn't tell them not to do anything. It said the government could take it down. It didn't say they couldn't keep putting it up. So they sneak out there at night, and the minute it comes down, they put it up. This is wrong. Obviously, we need a resolution. That resolution has been agreed to in principle by both parties in the Senate. There's a few recalcitrants. However, there is one hang up in it, the question of parole. And I think it's imperative for the country and for the Democratic Party, my Democratic Party, to resolve this issue before the election, because it's a toxic issue. It really is. And you're right. We can't continue to have hundreds of thousands of people a month just walking in here. We can't. And there are many of them are good workers. We wouldn't have a dairy industry in Wisconsin. We wouldn't have meat packers. We wouldn't have foundries. We wouldn't have a lot of construction sites without these good workers. But there are also people sneaking in from the Middle East, from Asia, flying into Mexico City. And these people, some of them hate the United States and they're on watch lists. We have got to do something, and I couldn't agree more. But go back to the Republican Party and tell them this. Quit obstructing a deal. Quit obstructing a deal. And let's get a deal in place. The little choice thing, Matt Gaetz, right now the Ethics Committee is ramping up its investigation. You may not have known this, but Matt Gaetz, the U.S. attorney, decided not to charge him for trafficking, but a complaint was filed against him in the Ethics Committee, and they do discovery, and they have subpoena powers, and they've gotten more witnesses, and his own party hates him. He got up, remember, he bumped through Kevin McCarthy out, basically. He got up to speak at something, and they all shouted, shut up and sit down. They hate the guy. Everybody hates the guy. So they are very capable of sticking a knife in him, and he may end up being like this George Santos character. So that's what's happening with Matt Gaetz. Based on recent information, they have the right to question the girl, the young girl that was apparently involved and so forth. They have the right to question the wingman. They have the right to question the wingman. Stand by. Coming up. A lot of news, a lot of weather. Carrie Lake was the subject of bribery attempt to stay out of the race. Carrie Lake coming up.